Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Loyalty Counters Lore's Day.
I'm Rowan.
And I'm Akeem.
Saw, dude, man. Spoilers.
Yeah, but is in full swing.
Yeah.
I'm as excited.
Yeah, and you can, we're mentioning it here, but we'll talk more in depth on our casting cost, which will be up this weekend.
Indeed.
And we are going to start pushing to have one out every weekend now.
Yep.
One a week.
Instead of bi-weekly, it'll be on a weekly basis.
Yep. So, what do you say we get right down to it?
Starting loyalty.
Story this week is called Trust. It's by James Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
What were his previous works, Akeem?
His previous works was Puppets in Aether Revolt, in which Liliana faced off against Tezzeret. A Grateful Consulate, which was the last story in the Kaladesh block, in which Tezzeret was consulting with Dovin Bond after initiating their order. And finally, Bottled Up, where Nyssa and Chandra, along with Ovia, were trapped inside of a trap set by Baral.
And those are just a few of his. He also did a couple in Innistrad and Eldritch Moon, and mm-hmm. he did two really good ones in the Zendikar block.
Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yeah, Oath of the Gatewatch, and Taking Back Seagate or something like
Liberating
that.
Liberating the Seagate.
Yeah, that. Very good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I enjoyed them a lot.
Indeed.
The synopsis of this story is: five planeswalkers have come to Amonkhet to slay a dragon. As the Gatewatch, they had sworn an oath to protect the multiverse from the threats that span the blind eternities, and the dragon planeswalker Nicol Bolas was perhaps the greatest such threat. So they came to Amonkhet, a world of blasted sand and terrible monsters, exactly the hellscape they had expected, until a god appeared, saved them from sandworms, and led them in the direction of a city. What kind of city would prosper under Bolas' reign? And what kind of god could live under his oppressive claw?
Mm-hmm. For the most part, it essentially picks up exactly where the last story left off. They're just trying to work toward a city.
Yeah.
Out in the desert until they run into more undead. This is in the perspective of Gideon, by the way. How he is realizing that there's... working in a group like this is very complicated, considering how everyone is up until this point has been working for their own means, but now they're part of a group, and he's not really feeling very groupish, at least in terms of communication.
Yeah.
Because combat, he's like, oh, we're perfect in combat. We can get stuff done. But, you know...
the fact that they don't really have a leader, and you can't really have a leader in this kind of group and everything, it's starting to get to him a bit.
Yeah, because it's kind of like there's no... what's the word? It feels a little off to me.
There's like, no structure. Solidarity, no structure.
Yeah, yeah, like it doesn't feel yet to him that they're all working toward the same goal. It feels like they're all separated, but just so happens... yeah, it doesn't feel united enough. But they eventually do find this city, and instead of trying to break through the dome, Jace does his Jace thing and opens the door with some pretty looking art, by the way. I'm not sure if that's going to be on a card art or that's just specific for the story, but it looks pretty cool to me.
I get disappointed sometimes when there's really cool art in the stories, and they're like, and that's the only place you see it.
I'm like, wow, you could have used that on a card. But they go in and they're greeted by an Aven. This one is more like a stork.
A heron.
A heron, that's correct. More of a heron, which Gideon mentions are different than the owls from the bad Avens that he knows of, specifically where Aven Mind Sensor
was from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Future Sight, I believe that was where he was from. But in either case, they're questioned, and the combination of Jace just taking some thoughts to get the right information that he needs. They meet the leader, I guess, of this area.
Not just this area. Temet. He's basically the pharaoh, a child pharaoh, similar to Tutankhamun.
Mm-hmm. King Tut.
Yeah. So, yeah. So not just the pharaoh of this area, or leader of this area. He's probably just, like, the pharaoh of the city, mm-hmm. kind of.
Because mm-hmm. They mentioned the god pharaoh.
Yes, the god pharaoh, who is Bolas.
Yes, they dare not say his name, but they even have, like, they revere him. Yeah. Like, they mention, now, Lil Jon didn't even say his name, we just mentioned the horned one, and she just, whole demeanor changed.
And, they almost fucked up a bit.
They did, yeah. They're not very good at espionage, even though they have a mind mage. She was kind of pulling out of his butt at the moment. But regardless, they're able to push themselves enough until they reach toward the inner city. Along the way, they see no laborers of any type, at least in the beginning. They see a whole bunch of people training.
Yeah.
Which we know this is a trial of strength for the Green God.
Well, not just training. They were either training in, like, combat or reading, learning type of stuff.
Yeah, like,
people basically just getting ready for the trials for their individual gods.
Well, they were specifically saying trial of strength. Well, the ones that he walked by.
Well, no, there was. When he asked, when they asked, what are these doing? And he said, well, I believe this group over here is doing this. The
trial of strength.
But in passing, there were some people also reading books. Yeah, and so stuff.
It could have been for Kithnet as well. So, yeah. So regardless, they eventually get to the point where they see another god, Okitra, who is the white god that we know of. She hasn't been spoiled as of yet, but if what the things we've seen of her so far, she embodies an ideal of unity of people united as one. And Gideon is, I use the word smitten because he just freezes. He reveres, like, all the things he was thinking about, the mess in his head melts away, and it's just him and her.
I would describe it as, like, a moment of clarity,
mm-hmm.
more like, because this, to him, is, it's basically what he originally thought of Heliod.
Mm-hmm.
Heliod was originally his whole, like, oh, you know, the white god, the symbol of structure, you know, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and that's what he remarks on later, is that the Theros gods were,
were like human in a way. They had their own...
They were like human, but also they were gods of specific things. Things, you know, like Heliod, god of the sun, Erebos, god of the dead, you know, all that kind of stuff. But these gods seem to embody more ideals, non-physical things. I think that's where that moment of clarity kind of came from, was that unlike the Theros gods, who were subject to human emotions and all that stuff because they were flawed kind of creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that these gods are not flawed, but due to their base being of a non-physical ideal, it's easier for him to there was that moment of clarity, and he was just kind of like, wait, this is what I originally had. This is basically what I lost.
A renewed faith, you could say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yes, and speaking of that, renewed faith is not only the preview picture when you click on the story on the mothership, but is also a reprint of a card from Onslaught. So, and that's actually a story spotlight card. So it's really interesting, as I noted before, that that's the case. But regardless, Okitra actually reaches out to Gideon specifically and calls him by his real Theros name of Kithion.
Eora,
not Gideon Jorah. So that already, like in that moment, he knew her name the same way that she knew his name, and they connected in that moment. So when everyone else bowed, he bowed with them, and it was actually pretty interesting to see Gideon put in that type of position, at least now.
Yeah.
Like, in his stage. And obviously everyone else is still kind of iffy about that, but for the most part, they're led to their rooms, and Gideon is still just thinking about Okeetra and everything that he's felt, his feelings, his complex feelings about what he had and what Okeetra is, everything that he wanted, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they happen to get to the room. Liliana takes a whole room for herself. Jerk. Everyone else goes to bed, where he just kind of watches Okeetra walk to the temple and just take everything that he's kind of feeling until Chandra comes out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
So what happens then? I mean,
I didn't read the story.
No, I was about to say, like, you jerk!
No, so Chandra comes out and talks to him, and he mentions a little bit about his past and stuff to her, and then there's a commotion in the streets, an old woman, or an older woman. Chandra, still feeling her strong feelings from back on Kaladesh, wants to charge in. Gideon says no. We get a little bit of information. This woman is screaming about the gods are a lie, the trials are a lie, the hours are a lie, everything's a lie. Very nihilist. But anyway, so Gideon stops Chandra from jumping in. This lady is arrested. They talk to Temet, and they almost blow their cover. Again.
Thanks to Chandra.
Keep
blabbing.
And we get a little bit of information. It seems like these the people of this city are viewed of as crops.
For these trials.
For these trials, and overall probably for Bolas.
Mm-hmm.
As for what exactly, who knows, we don't know yet. But they all go to bed. They get some rest, except for Gideon, who decides to go out walking and think. He's out, and he sees Okeetra in front of her temple. And she kneels down to him, which, again, the first time he saw her, she knelt. And that was something very odd to him, was that a god knelt. Like, what? So she kneels down, and she asks him, what are you searching for? And he replies, you.
Even though he wanted to say so much else. Well, but all the ideals lined up. Yeah. Was that I'm looking for you.
Yeah. That's renewed faith, solidarity, strength, you know, all that stuff. You. So, what do you say we tick up?
So, yeah, ticking up, I really enjoyed. Like, you kind of mentioned this precast, but this definitely seems like this is a Gideon-centric story.
Yeah.
Like, so far. Like, I kind of thought maybe it was Battle for Zendikar, but I think Battle for Zendikar and Oath was just the formation of the Gatewatch, where instead of a personal story. And also more so Nissa's story anyway.
Yes.
So we got that, and then we got more of Liliana's and everything else, then Chandra's and Kaladesh, and now it was like, this is Gideon battling and, you know, this is his character growth moment. So kind of peeking off what we kind of talked about last week with Impact as a story, where I kind of felt that way, and I still feel that way now.
That means next is Jace!
It'll be a Johnny.
Because next we gotta... is Jace!
Okay, fine.
No, next is a Johnny. And then Jace! Maybe. Poster boy!
I want
Gideon to be poster boy.
He probably won't.
You know who we haven't heard from in a while? Garrick.
We really have it.
The fuck's going on with Garrick?
He's hunting bigger game. That's what he's doing. He's killing other planeswalkers.
He shows up on Amonkhet and he's like, I'm gonna kill you, Bolas.
Like, I just heard there's a big planeswalker here.
This is the biggest game to hunt. But anyway, definitely seems more Gideon-centric. I liked the writing of Gideon. Seemed very Gideon-esque. And opposed to the last story, I really liked the writing of Chandra.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed a lot more Chandra.
Yeah.
Than the last story.
At least the grown Chandra, the Chandra that we know that's left. Kaladesh, knowing her mom's alive and battling, literally battled her past and her demons.
Yes.
So.
Overall, this story was really good.
Yeah, I also liked how Nissa seemed to be the calming force for Gideon.
Yeah.
Like, they have a bit of a bond there.
Yeah. So even if he's forcing it a bit.
Yeah, a little.
I mean, his
smile.
His, yeah, smiles.
Mm. He's like the Superman. Yeah. He really is. Jason's like the Batman. So.
But overall, no. The story was very well constructed.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the imagery in it. It left me wanting more. Unlike the last story. The last story was just kind of like, okay. But now...
This one's like, I want to know what happens next. It ended perfectly.
Yeah. I don't know. There's not a whole lot more I can say. I mean, this was a good story.
Yeah, it was really good. I can't really think about anything else to add other than, you know, you built the world very well.
Yeah.
The characters were built well, and you clearly have a clear setup of things to come.
I can think of something. It's very interesting to see white-blue taken in this direction, because obviously white-blue does have the potential to be kind of fanatical.
Yes.
And Temet is kind of fanatical in his belief in Bolas, which makes sense. You know, that's what they've grown up to know, you know, all this blah, blah, blah. He's obviously, 16?
Mm-hmm. Super young.
Yeah, put into a position of power similar to Tutankhamun was. Good shit.
Indeed. But now...
Time to tick down?
Time to tick down.
This is going to be a quick tick down, guys. What didn't I like about this story?
Nothing. You can't.
Time to go to final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
It's good.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed this. It went by rather quickly. Like, I just kept scanning, and then I got to the bottom. I was like, oh, this is it. Dang it. I gotta figure out what happens next.
Yeah. Speaking of next, I'm really curious to see about the rest of the gods.
Yeah, so far, as of the time of this recording, Heseret and Kefnet have been spoiled, and they seem pretty interesting. So they weren't three-color gods at all. They do have a sort of pseudo-devotion in that they're not enchantments. You don't need mana pips. It's like, it's certain conditions of your hand thus far.
I think rather than devotion, they're going for more of a... innate essence of the god type of thing.
Like, you're enacting their value. Like, Heseret enacts the value of red, where it's like, you don't need any cards in your hand. You just need to attack.
You keep playing Kefnet everything
you need to have knowledge and keep your mind full.
Yeah.
And then you may imbue me. So, obviously, this kind of sets it up down the line who be activated for what. Like, green has to be probably a power of a creature, maybe. Because there's a lot of things that buff up power with them, specifically.
Could be life total.
It could also be life total. Because if that's it, Oketra could be the number of creatures.
Yeah, Oketra could be the number of creatures you control, and green could be, like...
I was thinking black would be the life total, though.
I mean, they have been going more for life gain with black lately. Or black could also be lack of creatures your opponents control.
Or things in the graveyard.
Like, which would make sense with all of the hatred that we're seeing with graveyard.
Yeah, we're seeing a couple pieces of graveyard hate now, so it would make a lot of sense there. Also, I'm not sure if I mentioned it. I did mention, Gideon of the Trial was spoiled at the very beginning of the story. And from what me and Roman here are thinking, like, this card is obviously powerful. It's a 3-mana Gideon. We actually haven't had that aside from Kithion himself, which is technically takes a bit for him to get turned on.
I mean,
roughly turn three.
Easiest you can turn him on is turn four, I'd say.
Turn four reliably, but turn three if you play your cards right.
Right.
But no, this is a straight up 3-mana Gideon, and this is the new baby Gideon, or I guess. And he's very powerful, so as a possibility, at least this is just speculation, that he might be going on Oketra's trial. And from completing that trial, he could get a very much boost in strength. The trailer kind of showed off. If you haven't seen the trailer, link in the description. It is amazing, by the way. At the end, he actually blocks Heseret's strike. and normally he just has a barrier around himself, but Roman mentioned that the barrier actually is encompassing a circle around him, which is something that didn't happen before.
Normally it's just a glow on his own body.
And whoever he touches.
And whoever he touches, and as in the story with Chandra, where they turned Chandra into a bomb.
Yeah, in Puppets, actually. That's what happened in there. Funny enough. So they allude to that, and it's just, maybe, it's just this thing, because with Kaladesh, Chandra is a super pushed card, and Eldritch Moon, Liliana, super pushed. I guess you can argue to a sense, Nissa, in a sense, was super pushed for the cause, because in decks with Mana Ramp, you can get into her really quickly, but...
Hey, you know what? We've seen a 3-drop Nissa. We've only seen a 4-drop Chandra, but that's the lowest she's been.
Yeah, not counting her creature form.
Yeah, a 3-drop Liliana, 3-drop Gideon.
Are we going to see another 3-drop Jace, maybe? Because it seems like when they push power, they go, what is the lowest cost that this Planeswalker can be, but be powerful?
Yeah.
So it could be 3 or 4 for the next Jace. Maybe. It would be interesting, to say the least. I also, future thoughts, I'm not sure. I just know that I think Gideon's going to be the only one on these trials.
Well, yeah, as for the story, Oketra specifically stated that Gideon was one of hers.
Yes.
There was this connection between them, and so... It's pretty safe to say, especially with the name Gideon of the trial, that Gideon is going to be going on Oketra's trials.
Correct.
Or at the very least, starting them or entertaining the thought of being on them. And she looked at the other walkers and said that your destinies are unknown or haven't been chosen, decided. She said you have... No destinies, at least not yet, or something like that. I don't know.
There was a your destinies are yet undecided, is what they said.
And so that just basically, to me, as I understand it, means that, like, in terms of this plane, they are not chosen for any of the trials, at least not yet. Mm-hmm. I doubt that they will be going on any trials. It'll probably just be Gideon. But, yeah, looking forward to see what the other gods are like.
Indeed, I definitely am.
So with that, I guess it's time to pass the turn.
That's going to do it for another episode of Loyalty Counters. You can follow us at Twitter at @loyalty_counter. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook. And check us right here at mdgcast.com.
You can find me on Instagram at @tyromantalk. That's TyromanTok.
You can follow me at Musumichi on Twitter as MusaMichi.
For the inner Vorthos in all of us,
this has been Lord's Day. We'll see you on the uptick.